Thank you, Brother Colby. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God says in his word, he says, taste and see. Taste and see. And you know, when you have a program like this, it's okay to enjoy. You know, like I said, it's not a contest. It's not a competition. It's just a joy to listen to the pure word of God. He said, taste and see. It's good. And so when I tasted it, I said, thank you. It's good. Oh, by the way, Brother Jones, I think I've been receiving mail lately from different organizations giving me tips on how to build a Tower of Babel. I mean, they call it church growth, but it's basically, I'm sorry. So, but I thank you for that word. You're going to help me out, brother. You're going to help me out. Okay, at this time, we would like to bring up the last preacher for the 2 days that we have going on here, and it's Brother Dennis. He's already got the headset on. And Brother Dennis from Southern Bible Institute, you got it, brother. Preach. Preach the word.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, it's once again that you have allowed me the privilege to stand before these, your awesome people, these royal priests of yours, this holy nation, these ambassadors and co-laborers with Christ. Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength. You are our Redeemer. You, Father God, are our all in all. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening. How's everyone this evening? Amen. First, giving praises to my Heavenly Father, to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, to the Holy Spirit, which lives and move and have his being in us. Giving honor to Brother Ned Hawkins in his absence, Professor Ford, to all my sisters and brothers in Christ, my fellow classmates, and to all of the presidents and students of our seminary schools. It is indeed an honor to be here. And I wonder, why did they choose? Amen. God knows this. So if you would you please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, to the letter that was written to a Jewish audience. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to take a look at verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12. One and two. Give me 1 minute. If I drink that cold water, it'll shut me all the way down. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't don't mind, would you please stand? Out of respect of God's word. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You will find these words recorded. Wherefore seeing, and I'm coming out of the King James Bible. Wherefore seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. You may be seated. Considered to be an athlete. As a matter of fact, yeah, thank you. I was a sprinter at West Texas State University. So I have some idea of what it means to be in a race. I also have an understanding of what it means to be surrounded by a crowd of spectators urging you on to compete at your best. And I believe that this passage here this evening was not only inspired to motivate those Christians who may have had an interest in the Greek or Roman Olympic Games. But I believe that it can serve to motivate those of us who have entered this same Christian race. And that's what I would like to speak with you about tonight, is running the Christian race. How to run the Christian race. You see, the first thing I see in our text this evening, that our unnamed coach instructed us to do. He said that we ought to get rid of some stuff. He said that we ought to lay aside some things. Now, when I looked at this word, lay aside, it meant to strip off, to pull off, to take off, and to get rid of. It speaks taking off a garment and laying it to the side. I mentioned earlier that I was a sprinter. And I remember this one particular race, the dash. And as I was preparing to run the race, right after the third and final call, I was on the street. I would take off my uniform. I would strip off my jogging suit, and I would lay it down, thank you, to the side. Why? Because it was not designed for me to compete in it. It may have caused me to trip, to stumble, or fall as I would be running down the track. The uniform would be flipping and flopping in every direction. So I had to take it off and lay it to the side. Not only did I lay it on the side, because it would be flipping and flopping, carried here to and fro, but I also took it off because it was excess weight. And one thing that a sprinter wants to do is to get rid of all the excess weight that he can. So I would take it off and lay it to the side because it could mean the difference between the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. So I would take it off and lay it to the side. Now, in order for us to be able to run this Christian race with our maximum effort and to the best of our ability, the author suggests that we too must get rid of some things, that we too must lay some things down to the side. Things like fellowshipping on the golf course, where you should be fellowshipping and communing with God. Things like being politically correct when it comes to same-sex marriages, abortions, and Jesus not being the only way unto salvation. The author says that we are to lay some things down. Paul says in Colossians 3:8, but now ye also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication coming out of your mouth when you're hanging out with your homies, when you're hanging out at the lake. The author says that we too must lay some things down and cast them to the side. The next thing the author said, he said, not only are we to lay some things down and get rid of them, but he says the sin that so easily beset us. Now, according to the text, we understand that this sin is not your pet sin. You know, the one you promised God that you wasn't going to commit anymore, and when you came to yourself, you found yourself saying the same thing again to God. That's not the sin that the author is dealing with. But here we find that the sin is unbelief. That sin which so easily beset us, that sin which so easily entangle us, that sin which so easily causes us to trip, stumble, and fall, is the sin of unbelief. What is it? What is it that you can't see in the present that you are hoping for in the future? Is it pastoring, preaching, or teaching to the point that you become a professor or a president of some theological seminary? What is the substance that you're hoping for and the evidence is nowhere in sight to be found? Is it a worldwide ministry where thousands and thousands of people will come to accept Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives? Is it an evangelistic effort down the street and around the corner to where you remodel an abandoned apartment complex where those homeless people can have a shelter? Owen Crouch, in his book, said that sin is not just a burdensome weight to the runner, but it's a drug that paralyzes the muscle. It's a de-energizing force that destroys ambition, that drains stamina, and kills vitality. The author suggests that we cast those things to the side. He said in chapter 10, cast not away your confidence, because your confidence have a great reward. The author says, not only are we to cast some things to the side, not only are we to get rid of the sin which so easily beset us, that sin which so easily distract us and divert us from our course. But the next thing he says that we ought to do, if we are going to run this Christian race properly, he said that we are to run with patience. One commentator suggests that in the original language, it meant run through patience. I kind of like that second part, running through patience. You see, the word run means to be set in motion. It means to hasten on to. It speaks of a steadfast, long-suffering, enduring, persevering effort to obtaining the reward. I left you taking off my uniform on the side of the track. But right before the starter would hold up his gun and say, runners, take your mark, I always tried to be the last one to get into the starting block. Why? Because the longer it took me to get into the block, the more patience the other runners had to show. The longer it took me to get into the block, the longer the other runners had to stay crouched up in that semi-starting position. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." My strategy was to obtain first place. So my strategy was to allow everyone else to show how much patience they had waiting on me to get into the blocks. Patience. The word patience, it speaks of perfect Christian character. Matter of fact, the essence of the word Christian suggests that we are to be like Christ, that we are to be Christ-like. What was the character of Christ? Jesus always trusted God. Jesus always believed God. Jesus always did what God told him to do. So you could take this word patience and replace it with being the same way all the time. Jesus trusted God all the time. Jesus relied on God all the time. Jesus only did what he heard his Father tell him to do all the time. So I believe that this unknown author is trying to get us to understand that we are to run this race the same way all the time. Always trusting God. Always throwing off those weights that so easily beset you. Always throwing off that sin which so easily entangles you and divert you off course. Patience. Being the same way all the time. Not only do the author tell us that we are to get rid of that flippy, floppy attitude, but he says that we are to run the Christian race the same way all the time. The next point that I see here in our text, the author says, fixing your eyes on Jesus. You see, after I got into the starting block and the starter had his gun up and said, "Runners, take your mark." Then he would say, "Set," and he would fire the pistol. And the race would be set in motion. I had to hasten on to the finish line. But as I was hastening down the track. My mind was on the finish line. My mind was on 60 yards down the track. Why? Because that is where the reward was. That is where the finish line was. That is where the glory was. And I hastened on down the track in order to win the race. You see, the author tells us that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. That we are to look unto Jesus. It might be okay to take a glance at those heroes in the hall of faith. It's all right to take a glance at your pastor, your preacher, your Sunday school teacher. It's okay to take a glance at Mama Neil, Daddy Neil, Professor Neil, President Neil. But our gaze, our focus must be on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus ran the race for 33 and a half long years. Jesus followed the rules of the race in order to create the race so we could take the handoff and be on our way. Jesus ran a sinless race. Jesus ran a perfectly righteous race. Jesus suffered for all the sin of the world. Jesus ran in utter obedience and trust in God. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus ignored and despised the shame of the cross in order to finish the race. He endured and he finished the work that God gave him to do. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the originator and the perfecter of our faith. So if you want to run this Christian race in order that you will win, not only are you to throw some things to the side, not only are you to get rid of that flippy, floppy, wavy attitude, not only are you to get rid of that sin of unbelief, but we must fix our eyes on Jesus. God, he is waiting on us at the finish line. Jesus is sitting down at the right hand of God, exalted to the highest place of dignity and honor in the universe. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So the author suggests that we are to do at least three things if we are going to run this Christian race to the best of our ability. He says that we are to get rid of that flippy, floppy attitude which is carrying us here and yon by every wind of doctrine. He says that we are to run the race the same way all the time. He says that we must fix and behold Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So amidst all of the severe trials to which we are exposed on account of our faith, let us patiently endure all for the glorious reward, the happiness and the triumph of heaven sits before us. I come out of the block. My mind was focused on the finish line. I gave it all that I had. And when I hit the tape, I hit it in first place. Now here I am, some 39 years later, able to bask in that temporary glory, in that temporary crown. But we have a glory. We have a crown. We have a city built not by hand, waiting on us in eternity. Stay in the race. God bless you.
Bless you. At this time, I've asked my friend and my dear brother, Dr. D.O. Moody, president of Arlington Baptist College, if he would come and give an invitation to discipleship.
Could I ask that every head be bowed, every eye be closed for just a moment? You know, I've sat here tonight and I've watched Almighty God divinely weave the fabric of the evening for the message that he has for us for this evening. And every message he has, stitch by stitch, he has woven together a charge, a challenge to us to live for him, exalt him, to rid ourselves of the things that are displeasing to him, to make our lives a pure vessel whereby he can work in us and through us. And then summed it all up with Brother Dennis challenging us to keep our eyes on Jesus. I want to tell you, tonight is no coincidence. It's not an accident. The message that God gave to each of these five men that have preached to us tonight has been the word that we needed to hear. God has spoken. His Holy Spirit's at work. And now it's our turn to be obedient and obey what he would have us to do. Submit ourselves to him. Surrender our will to his will. To say to him, Lord, you be Lord of all. Not just part, but Lord of all. And tonight, in this time of commitment and decision, maybe God has just been speaking to you throughout this evening. Boy, don't resist that Holy Spirit of God. Let God have his way. God's tugging on the heartstrings, calling you to be what he wants you to be. Be obedient tonight. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to have a verse of invitation, a call to discipleship and decision. Let God have his way. You'll leave here much happier and much more fruitful and effective in the kingdom of God if you say yes to him. My Father in heaven, I thank you for your word that's so powerful. And Lord, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides asunder. And Lord, sometimes it cuts us, but it always cuts us, that we might be healed by you. Father, I pray tonight. I pray that right now in this moment of decision, Lord, help us to do those things that a million years from now we'll be glad we did. Yes. Lord, I pray you would speak. May thy will, not our will, may thy will be done in every heart and life. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name.
And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you to stand to your feet, please. Our musicians are singing. God's Holy Spirit is speaking. If there's a decision you need to make for Jesus Christ, you do it on the first stanza, first note, first stanza. You do that tonight that God would have you to do in this time of decision. Thank you, and God bless you. I want you to show your appreciation to all five of these preachers that have preached the word faithfully to us tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. Good, good job. I want to tell you, with preaching like that, there's hope for our country.
Amen.
There's hope for our world, because there's power. There's power in the word. There's power in the preached word of God. God promises to bless that. And again, hey, I know Pastor Milbury has been thanking us for coming and being here. But could we do this? Could all of we as guests here to the homiletics conference, could we just show our appreciation to he, Miss Niece, and the Good Shepherd Baptist Church for their hospitality? I tell you, I love this church. I love this church. I love this preacher. And the best thing about Pastor Milbury is his wife, Niece. That's the best thing about him. And we just want to say thank you so very much for being such gracious, gracious host and lining this up, putting all the effort in. God's been honored, and we've been blessed. And Brother Milbury, thank you so very, very much. Okay?
Thank you, my brother. Y'all can be seated. Y'all can be seated. I won't do it tonight, but next year, if the Lord tarries, y'all always remember, tax time. We call this, what happened these last 2 days, tax relief. Okay? That's what this preaching is all about, tax relief. So Lord willing to say the same, we'll have our fourth homiletics conference right here. Lord, give us some more good preachers, some more good teaching. And then next year, if you show up, I'll explain to you all how Brother Moody and I are twins who were separated at birth. It's a long story, so I won't do it tonight. But it's offering time, because we're Baptists. Baptists, we do offering, y'all. But this is a special kind of offering. See, we don't tell anybody what to give because the Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I'm going to tell you what the need is, and then you ask the Holy Spirit what to give. A major portion of this fellowship from the very beginning has always been the preaching first, the preaching and teaching first, the fellowship, but also providing some kind of funding for the homiletics departments of each school that is participating in this program. Good Shepherd doesn't take any money from this program. We get the blessing of having y'all here with us. Amen. So we're just asking that as the Lord speaks to your heart, as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, you give, whatever is given will be turned over to the three institutions that provided us with preachers here tonight. And with that, I will turn it over to the ushers. Do we have any ushers? Okay. I'll turn it over to Brother Mike, and he will instruct you as to what to do.
Good evening, everyone. If anyone would like an envelope, we have some envelopes. Usually what we do is we'll just have outside two sections as I'll give some directions to stand, and then we'll just come down and around, and then I'll request the center sections to stand, and just come down and around and back to your seats. Yeah.
1 second, I forgot to tell you. If you would like to use the check, make the check out to Good Shepherd Baptist Church, and just put HC on there, then that means it will go to the homiletics conference. You can make it out to Good Shepherd Baptist Church if you want to use check.
Yeah. Okay. So everyone have the envelopes? All right. Well, then at this time, as the music plays, I'll ask the outside two sections if you just please stand and then just come down around to the gentleman holding the plate. Just come from right on down and around. Follow. Follow right on around. All right, thank you, thank you. Thank you. At this time with the center section, please stand. Bow with me in prayer for a moment. Father, we do just thank you, Father, so much for how you have so richly blessed us this evening, Father. I thank you, Father, for those that you just put on their hearts, Father, to give tonight, Father, that we may continue to serve your students, Father. And I just pray, Father, that all that would be turned in tonight, Father, would just further your kingdom's glory, Father, through your men, Father. And I just praise you and thank you for that. And I pray, Father, for your guidance and direction in their lives, Father. Thank you so much for your many, many blessings tonight, Father. And I just praise you and thank you and pray for safe traveling, Grace's home. And then, Father, I just pray as we partake tonight and break bread with one another, Father, that we would get to know each other and that bonds would be created, Father, in a way that we would never have a chance any other way. But tonight, Father, new beginnings. Thank you so very, very much, Father. For it's in Jesus' precious name that I pray. Amen.
Okay. Thank y'all so very much. Can I get another round of appreciation for those five co-laborers in the Word? And I just ask that the Lord just do many, 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 many more years for you gentlemen to preach the word. I have a few acknowledgments I'd like to make here before we dismiss. And when we get ready to dismiss, I'm going to ask Brother Terrence Ford, the Dean of Students over at Southern Bible Institute, to give us our benediction and bless the food for us as well. But before we do that, I would like to say thank you to all three schools, Brother Moody, Brother Ford, Dr. Allen over at Southwestern Seminary, and Brother Ford over at Southern Bible, and Brother Moody. These gentlemen, it could not have happened without them, y'all, because I asked them, and they said yes, and I said, ooh, how about that? You have not because you asked not. And so here they are over here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, and I'm just so excited. I'm so thankful. So I want to say thankful to you gentlemen for all of them have very busy schedules, and I just want to thank them for setting aside some time to come out here and work with us. I want to say thank you to you folks who came out on a Monday and Tuesday night. Y'all give yourself a hand, man. This is good stuff. I mean, we came out here. We didn't come out to see some movie star. We didn't come out to see some fashion show. We came out to hear the word of God preach, and it was preached. Amen. So I say thank you for that. Thank y'all for coming out here today. And again, don't forget tax time next year, right here. Okay, and also I want to thank Sister Teresa Dancer. Is she inside or is she over next door? Okay, Sister Teresa Dancer, she's the chair lady for the whole homiletics program, and Sister Dancer did a lot of sweating to make sure everything was where it needed to be, and it was here and there, and I thank her for that. I want to thank our musicians and the Good Shepherd Mass Choir. Thank our ushers for coming out on a weekday. I hope I don't forget anybody on that line. This was done in-house by our IT committee. So I want to say thank you to the IT committee. They developed everything, and they put everything together. And we are so blessed. It's such a wonderful thing. They keep us. They give us a nice internet presence. I'm a blessed man. And speaking of being a blessed man, I have to say to y'all, my wife of 39 years, would you please stand, baby? That's my wife, Sister Niece Milbury, like niece and nephew. She just makes sure I get up and keep doing, moving forward, and I'm just so blessed. For all you brothers, you know, praise God every morning for your wife, y'all. Hey, she's a personal gift from God. What you gonna do with a personal gift from God? Amen? Okay, and so we have that. And the last thing that I want to say to you, we just finished teaching the book of Hosea, and that little tiny book is so, so powerful. See, because when you go into the book of Hosea, you go in looking at the newspapers and on the internet and on the radio, and you're thinking, man, our country's going to hell in a handbasket. Man, them Republicans. Man, them Democrats. Man, that Obama. Man, that whatever. Oh, I just said, and I read the book of Hosea, and God said it didn't have nothing to do with Obama, the Republicans, the Democrats, the Senate, the Congress. He said it's the preachers. He said, you want to know what's wrong with your country? Look in the pulpit. That's why we do what we do here, y'all. Because we want to encourage sound biblical preaching. If your country is messed up, it's your pulpit is messed up. God continue to give us strong preachers, strong teachers, that this world, this nation might be saved, and that this nation might become a light and a beacon of light for the whole world. God bless y'all for coming. God keep you. Brother Ford, if you would be so kind.